Hey, I'm glad that you joined us here on the Doorway of Supernatural. Co-host is Rob Kennedy, and we're going to be continuing to talk about, we've been talking about discerning of spirits, and that every man is born with a spirit that expresses personality and things of that nature. It doesn't mean that, and every spirit is good if it is tamed or controlled. If it's out of rule, then the man is out of rule.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when it talks about a spirit of pride, we understand God didn't give that to man, but men can pick it up and those traits be put into their life.
Yeah.
So today we're going to continue. And, Rob, let's start at 1 Corinthians 12th chapter and verse 7 down through 11. Your Bible is probably open there by theirself. Now, but we're going to verify that the discerning of spirits is a gift. And for the simple fact that God inspired Paul to put down instructions and put through the scriptures definitions of the gifts of the Spirit, a word of wisdom, a word of prophecy, the gift of healing, the working of miracles. For the simple fact that God put those in there, and then Paul comes to the church and then gives instruction for them. He's not giving us instruction for something we're not going to use.
Exactly.
It's like giving a caveman a Ford manual, and he doesn't. And so God gives this to us so that we would not be ignorant. So if these were not here, we would be ignorant. But Paul gives these that we might be knowledgeable in order to use them, to profit with them, use them for the ministry and the unveiling of Christ as it was to the world. Remember that there are nine fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit identify the believer. They are not fruits of the Holy Ghost. So when it talks about in the Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit, that is the fruit of the recreated human spirit being compared to the spirit of the old man, which was the works of the flesh.
The flesh,
one is dominated by faith and love. That is in the individual. The other is dominated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, the pride of life. And so these fruits identify us. Jesus said, you will know them. He didn't say you will know me by my fruit. He said you will know them. He didn't say you'll know the Holy Ghost. He didn't say that. He said you will know them. Who? Yeah. The brother. Those that are bought by the blood, those that are truly born again. And then the nine gifts of the Spirit identify, unveil who God is. And shows him that he is the all-knowing God by the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. You know, the gift of faith. He is a faith God, working of miracles. Nothing's impossible. And so we are going to today just verify that the discerning of spirits is one of the gifts of the Spirit that are needed today and that are given to us as believers. So, Rob, why don't we start in verse 7, go down through 11.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Amen. This lays out discerning of spirits. It is one of the revelatory gifts. It's something reveals something. And it awakens us to, it opens our eyes. This really here is a fundamental gift that brings about visions, trances, has to do with even people feeling the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And then being able to discern, as Paul did in Acts the 16th chapter when the woman was following getting free advertisement, he said, hey, this is a little bit overboard.
And
he turns and says, you know what, this is the spirit of divination.
Yeah.
And she used soothsaying to bring her masters and the gain. So we're going to talk today. And Rob, last week we were talking out of Psalms 51 and verse 10 Remember that David is a man after God's own heart, and David is asking God to give him a spirit. And so we know that if David's asking him to give him one, he has probably lost one.
Yeah.
And God is a mender or a healer of brokenheartedness. And so we have to realize that sometimes the Spirit of God, and the Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man.
Yeah.
And if you start withdrawing from God, stop doing what has brought about change in your life like that, then you are going to regress.
Yeah.
And so the patternistic diligence of the believer is what anchors him in the place that he has been promoted to. That's why we don't lift up a novice. A novice does not have the ability to stay rooted where God has placed him or where man would place him.
Yeah.
So we don't put people that are unskilled, unable to control their self or things of that nature in places that they could harm their self.
They've not yet learned the perseverance and the patience and the,
absolutely.
You know, the tried kind of faith.
And when you're promoted, Rob, you're brought into a whole new realm of spiritual things. David said that, you know, he was in the midst of his enemies. Death compassed him about. And he said, it's like strangers are everywhere. He said, if I had wings like a dove, I'd be out of here. And because they didn't have greyhounds then. So he was he said, I'd be out of here. Well, when we get promoted, that is a new realm. And every realm has dimensions of demonic that go with it. Every realm is protected in some way. So we have to make sure that we are able to go there. And a lot of people say, well, I want this, I want that. Well, God's not going to sacrifice your soul just for you to be someplace because you think that you can handle it. No, look, if you can't handle yourself without blowing a cork with your wife, you are not ready to be around people. You're out of control, bud.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to look at Psalms 51 and verse 10.
Yeah.
And we're going to go down through, verse 13.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee.
It sounds to me like David has come to the end of himself, and he's in despair that, you know what, God, I have no zeal, I have no passion, I need God for whatever. You know, the Bible tells us don't be weary.
Yeah.
You know, we can get deceived, we can, you know, get depressed, we can get grieved.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the spirit of sorrow that we are not to have like the world has. Yeah. That is a spirit. That's why God gave Israel, look, you mourn for 30 days. Anything after that, understand this is demonic.
Yeah,
I give you 30 days to grieve.
Yeah.
Anything after that, then this is demonic. Because the devil will take advantage over situations that go in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And he will gain supremacy and he will rule over us.
Right.
And, you know, that way, instead of while we're in the mourning process, it turns into a way of life, a sorrow, as it were.
Absolutely.
There's a canopy over that, and it keeps us in the realm of death.
Yeah.
And so we want to make sure that we don't allow spirits like that to come in when we go through stuff.
I always pray for people, Pastor, at funerals or grieving. Whenever I pray for families, I always pray that the mourning process would never go extended beyond what is normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that the enemy won't take a hold of that and drag them deeper into that pit of despair and
I have
loss.
You're right. Yeah. I have been called by families to graveyards and said, you know, our mother comes out here every day and talks to her father. And, you know, and I understand that. Well, you know, I go, it sounds so good, but it's just so demonic that we need to get over ourselves. And, you know, people say, well, you know, I talk to Dad every day. Well, if he's in heaven, he ain't hearing you.
That's right.
So, you know, you want to talk to Dad, talk to your father.
Yeah.
But you don't talk to a dead man. We don't believe that the saints are doing what God is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so when I've went to these places, I've cursed that. And from that moment, that day, They never return. Because that spirit is broken, and they're drawn. And there is going to be just as destructive as any other part of what the devil does. But here David says, create in me a clean heart, God. Now, that would mean that David would have to look at himself and say, man, I am not what I used to be. He'd have to compare something with something. And so David's realizing that, you know, I'm not here. Now, I do realize that he was a man after God's own heart. But we have to protect our hearts because we can lose heart. We can lose passion. We can lose our love. Jesus said, you know, I've got somewhat against you. You know, you've left your first love. And he said, you're lukewarm. So we can lose those characteristics of the Spirit that God has placed in us that is connected to the call of God on us. If you're an evangelist, you lose your passion, you're going to lose your meal ticket. They say, end it. And then David says, renew in me. So this is a reestablishing of a spirit. So David would know when it was established. And it goes back and it says, restore unto me the joy that accompanies those things. And he says, and then will I. It's as if David would rise up, then will I do, God, what I know that I'm supposed to do. He's telling me, I got a wrong spirit here, God, so I am incapacitated to present the gospel and you as Jehovah the way that a man of God should.
And not only incapacitated, but he's also disqualified in some sense.
You're right.
Because he knows his heart isn't right.
You're right. He doesn't really have any willingness. It's like, you know, his want tour is broke. His no tour is fine. It's his want tour that needs to get back into gear.
Well, and we also know this is after Bathsheba. And, know, so he had fallen.
Absolutely.
And from that David, place where he was that young shepherd boy, you know, singing psalms and playing the harp. And, you know.
And that's when he's called, you know, this is a man after my own heart.
Exactly.
So just knowing that and the history and the progressiveness of the book of Psalms, we do understand that David has lost that which God was looking for to in order to be established in a king, a man after God's own heart. And so sometimes people think, well, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. But we can, because the Bible even speaks to us in Acts that Jesus came, times of visitation, that there would be times of refreshing. So our spirit does need not only build up, it needs maintained. You know, the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. In other words, there can be a loss of strength, faith, passion, zeal, just solely based upon walking with God. And so we have to monitor ourselves. Paul said, you know what, I write these things that every man know how to contain himself and rule his vessel. And sometimes we forget that we have to look at ourselves because we are in battles and and all that kind of stuff. I think like sometimes in movies, you know, they come out of a fight and they say, oh, you got blood on you. He said, oh, that's okay. It's not mine. So,
well, we think because we got our armor on, we don't realize it's, you know, it's beat all to pieces.
Absolutely. You know, burning on the shield of faith. And so let's go to Proverbs 16:32, Rob. And we're going to talk about when, you know, we get a spirit in our life, how no matter what type of spirit we have, even if it's a humble spirit, it can, if it's not ruled, it can put you in places that you shouldn't be. It can cause you to be submissive to people that you should not be submissive to. So there is that discerning so that we can not only discern what type of spirit, but then a gift of interpretation that we can interpret seasons or what's happening coming into us and the discerning of spirits working with it, what types of spirits that would be trying to maybe rule us, gain control, trying to seed, trying to get in. Remember, he comes as an angel of light. He looks so appeasing. He sounds so good. But the only way that we can tell the difference is that we have a discerning spirit. So if a man has a humble spirit, he can end up being override, overrode. You know, and not that wives do that, because, you know, we have, well, my wife's not submissive. Well, maybe you're too submissive. Maybe you're too controlling. She can't be submissive because you're so domineering that there is no love in the expression of what you are presenting to her.
Yeah.
So in on her behalf, she's doing survival.
Yeah.
You're demanding law.
Survival,
and you're trying to survive this brutal control freak. And, so you have to overcome that. And so sometimes women have to be strong. Like Deborah said, look, we're going to go to war. God wants to use a man, but since he won't use a man, guess what? I'll lead this country.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what does she do? She takes the place that she shouldn't have to take. And no wife should take the place of having to survive or to protect herself because some husband is a control freak. And it goes the other way. You women that get freaky and controlling people, you know what? You need to chill out. And if your husband is loving you, quit trying to dictate everything and let him grow up himself and let him get potty pants. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Bring him up and get him potty trained. But so many times these spirits, you know, we don't realize, so we get them out of balance.
Yeah.
And a humble spirit is a great thing. But you cannot let it dominate everything about you and just be decisionless through life.
Now, do you think when the humble spirit, taking this too extreme, brings timidity and all kinds of other things? Like Paul talking to Timothy, he's a pastor, he's in this place.
What he does is he gives place to a spirit of intimidation.
Yeah.
Because a humble spirit wants to be obedient.
Exactly.
It wants to be submissive. But even leaders end up having humble spirits. So we have to be able to control that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, at the contrary to these tapes, I'm not a real forceful man.
Yeah.
But if God tells me to do something, we're going to do it. But outside of the pulpit, look, I'm a very soft-spoken man. Look, I'm the best guy you ever want to work for. Ain't that right, Rob? So there you go. But I'm not a guy that tries to get my way. I want this way. But I want to do something like on television. I come to the television men and I say, tell me what I can do. Show me this is what I'd like to do. Give me your ideas.
Yeah.
And they come back and say, here's our idea. We think it would be better this way. I say, okay.
Yeah.
And I humble myself to that gift.
Yeah.
Because they have an eye that I don't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so let's read Proverbs 16 there in verse 32, Rob.
He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city.
Think of the strength of a man being able to rule his spirit. Doesn't matter what kind you have.
Yeah.
If you have, he's a strong-spirited man. Well, that's great, but you still have to control that strong spirit. People, visionaries and stuff, sometimes are real strong, real forceful, boastful, forthright, forward. But they have to be able to contain that. The other day I was talking to someone, and they said, okay, well, how can I do this? I said, well, you have to know how your people or how people around you perceive so that you could say, hey, I was thinking about doing this and saying, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Get their opinion. Find out where they are. You have to create a word in due season is good.
Yeah, that is.
And a word that is palatable is something that will be received.
Yeah.
But if you put something on words that should not be there, they are bitter.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have to make sure that even when we're talking, sharing with people, we have to be able to understand the spirit that they're hearing with.
Yeah.
Because they'll hear it wrong.
Yeah.
You get a wife that, and when you're marriage counsel, it's kind of like pitting demon against demon. You're just trying to get the one that's, easily to be overthrown. And it doesn't mean that it's always just. It creates an atmosphere of peace. And hopefully those that are seeking God will become what God wants them to be and stop being what the devil has made them.
Exactly.
But when you're talking to a woman that's been oppressed, the last thing you want to do is use the word submit.
Yeah.
you want to say, maybe we could work together. Because there is this survival in her that she's trying to protect herself. And she thinks everything is being said is taking ground from me.
Exactly.
And we don't want to give up ground like that. Yeah. But he that rules his spirit. What do you think that means there, Rob?
Well, I think order. There's, you know, order. He brings his flesh in order, you know, brings it into submission. But there's order in his life. Order is a big thing. So
absolutely.
Right, in every area. So,
yeah.
You know, where am I out of control? You know, where is this leading? Or where's my natural tendency to go in this direction? Put up barriers and safeguards and boundaries, you know.
Because
so I think boundaries, a person that would order his life and put boundaries around himself. Yeah. But
yeah, because the Bible says that the spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet.
Yeah.
In other words, if a prophet cannot control himself, I've heard that. Well, I just couldn't help myself. Well, then we know that was a demon.
Yeah.
And it wasn't God at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But people say those things. They don't really mean them.
Yeah, no,
and we all know that they're just blown out air. They don't know what they're talking about. But if somebody doesn't rule that spirit and it gets out of order,
yeah.
causes chaos in a service, now we have an out of control spirit.
Yeah.
Has not been subject to that man.
Exactly.
And but the power of a ruled spirit is like an army to take a city.
Yeah.
Just think what we can conquer when we join ourselves and we govern it by principles and by the manifestation or the cultivation of fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So I think that it's important that we learn how to rule our spirit. That comes into discerning what kind of spirit are you.
Yeah.
You know, I have a hasty spirit. I think that's how I ended up being married. You know, I just said, yes. Now look at me. Oh, no, I'm kidding. I'm in love with Phyllis, and I'm hasty to get home to see her.
Yeah,
so, but we make decisions fast, and everything that a hasty spirit does is a hasty spirit takes everything, all of the information that somebody else sees. Well, you know, see, this is a pitfall. This is it. But a hasty spirit twist them and makes them all look like everything is just perfect, and it's not perfect.
Yeah.
That hasty spirit wanting to express its personality through us without due diligence, judging all things, proving all things, seeking the counsel where there is safety, that hasty spirit will go ahead, and that thing will look so good to them that they are bumfuggled when it doesn't work.
Launching out.
That's right. So
sinking.
We knew how we were. We know how we are. And I've made lots of mistakes because of the hasty spirit until I found out this is not visionary. This is hasty.
Yeah. There's a fine line, but there's a difference.
And,
yeah.
And right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Phyllis, sometimes I'll be saying, well, you know, I like it. She said, you know, honey, whoa. You're hasty. And I like to tell her, but I don't. And but she is absolutely right.
Yeah.
So when she interprets or discerns that spirit is getting me before the cart, then she understands that the donkey, the oxen, or the horse is going to be tripped.
Yeah.
And the cart is going to be overturned, and I'm going to be left handling a bunch of smashed tomatoes. So, you know, we have to have people. And sometimes we think because it's our wife that's reminding us what kind of spirit that we have, that that's bad.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. And if you can't trust your wife to tell you the truth, who can you trust?
Yeah. That's God's sanctifying agent in your life.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost number two.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely.
That's why she's there.
You know, so I told my kids have instruction. If I ever smell old, tell me. I don't want to smell old, but I have to submit myself to them because as I get old, I don't smell myself. But I don't want everybody else around me smelling. Boy, that guy smells old. He don't smell old, honey. He smells moldy. And the little kid says, he don't smell moldy. He just flat stinks. So we want to be subject one to another. We want to submit ourselves one to another. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, submit one to another. In other words, you cannot rule your life without eyes of someone that is moved to judgment by love.
And you think of the Apostle Paul, he comes to my mind, and you know, he gets his revelation, he gets saved, he's out there preaching, and then he goes and submits himself to the leaders in Jerusalem.
In Acts 12 and 13.
Just to, you know, make sure that he's not running off course and getting out ahead of the gospel.
Right. And he come, him and Barnabas come right back, even though they're having a revival all over the place, they come right back to James, the overseer, not Peter, the first pope. He wasn't even there. The pope wasn't there. Peter wasn't a pope. The Catholic Church wasn't there. So moving right along, Peter's dead when the Catholic Church comes in. But but they're ruled by a dead man. Anyway, we see that when they needed, they went to the church.
Exactly.
Now, Paul was having a revival, but he understood that, you know what, there has to be submissiveness.
Yeah.
And so he pulls down his gift and brings it in submission. And when they feel that it's ready, the Holy Ghost speaks to them. And so go, absolutely. And so that helps that gift flourish, and they go forth accompanied by, you know, the word of the Lord, that they can fight the fight, as Timothy did. So we have this spirit that we are to rule, Rob. You know, we are to make sure that we can control this spirit and understand that, let me see, if we do not recognize what type of spirit is or bring it into order, then we understand that we're breaking free of God's government. Now, that is going to happen more so towards the end time, because the Bible says that they will declare that they know God, but they didn't. But they deny the power thereof.
Exactly.
That word power doesn't mean they deny that miracles happen. It means that they deny his right to rule or to govern their life.
His lordship.
Yes, and that goes right back to Romans 13, 14th chapter. These are the powers that God set in. And we are seeing that in the streets of America today, all over the place, that there is this disdain for any type of set government, organized rule. And people think that that's oppressive. I'm not telling you that it's perfect, but we as people have to have more faith in God than we do ourselves, and even in the powers that are, in the governments that are set. But that same word, the powers, is the same word that is used in Timothy there that says they confess that they know God, but then they deny him. So they're not governed by him. In other words, they throw God's government off just as they do earthly government. And it cannot be. That is a terrible place. And, you know, we've always quoted that. Well, you know, they deny the power thereof. That has nothing to do with miracles.
No.
It has to do with they refuse to submit and to be ruled by God. That is a type of rebellious spirit, a prideful spirit. It says, who's going to rule us, you know, and who's going to do this? And where the pride says, let us break their chains off of us, and let's be our own people. Well, you can't be your own person. You either belong to the devil, you belong to God. Somebody said, I'm my own man. You are your own man, and you're born of the devil.
Son of disobedience.
Absolutely. So, Rob, next week we are going, this coming Thursday, we're going to pick up about a different spirit that we get when we get born again, and allowing it to mold our spirit, our human spirit, into being a hand of God and a channel for God. Because you can be born again and have a recreated spirit, but if you have a prideful spirit and arrogance rolling or ruling your soul, then what you're going to do is you're going to stay disconnected from the recreated spirit. And you're going to govern your own life. And that's a terrible place to be. If God leaves you by yourself, you're in trouble.
That's
and
sure.
Yeah, that's the worst thing. That's why David said, don't take your spirit from me. He knew, God, you get away from me. I'm had. I know what I will be. And so, Rob, why don't you go ahead and pray for the people and just ask God to put in us a desire to look at ourselves, activate the discerning of spirits, but also to pursue a newness, a refreshing, just, you know, a fresh infusion of the strength of God, that we can be more defined in our recreated spirit, that he can rule us.
Father, we just we come to you, and I just thank you right now, Lord, that there's people listening and watching right now, that you're longing for a joy, the joy of your salvation. It seems to be lost. It seems to be missing. And so right now, just ask God to create in you a clean heart, to renew the right spirit in you, to give you a hope, to refresh your memory of the things that God has done for your life, the times that he spoke to you and blessed you and poured out his spirit upon you. Father, I just pray right now for an activation, Lord, for the gifts of the spirit, Lord. We call forth the gift of discernment so they may discern the time and season that they're in, but Lord, also the spirit in which they are dealing with, Lord, and also the spirit in how you want to use them. Give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding of your ways, your wills, and your will for them in Jesus' name. So, Father, we release that gift right now and activate it and call it to come forth into life, Lord, of everyone listening right now. Father, I pray for a resurgence, Lord, of a spiritual renewal in their hearts and minds, Lord, that they would return to their first love, that there would be an activation, Lord, of a heart that desires you, Jesus. And Father, even when our hearts are hard, melt them with your love and with your joy and with your presence, Lord. And Lord, where our spirits are discontent, Lord, bring contentment in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we release this, Lord, now unto your saints in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Hey, we'll see you Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. God bless. Amen. Bye-bye.